I want to teach you a song this morning. Choir, I'm going to need your help. I didn't give you a heads up. So get ready. I want to teach you a song this morning. I want to tell you about a passage. And it's a passage that will probably be familiar to you, but something that I'm just really wrestling with in this particular passage this week. And then I want to tell you about something that I feel like God is teaching me right now. A song, a passage, and something that I feel like God is teaching me right now. And all of this has to do with one kind of general theme. Whenever I open up my email, I have lots of emails from different sources that I've subscribed to, some of which I don't remember subscribing to. And in my inbox, I've set up a filter to automatically put any email that contains the word unsubscribe into a particular folder before I even see it. Yeah, I have several filters, but that's one of them. And then I only look at the unsubscribe folder two or three times a week. There are a few things that contain the word unsubscribe that I want to see. I want to see what somebody posted in a blog, or there are a couple of newsletters that I want to check out, but most of them I just immediately delete. Some of those emails, it's probably time for me to unsubscribe to. I just don't want to get that email anymore. And there are some things in my life that it's probably time for me to unsubscribe to. Just things that I just don't really need to have in my life or deal with anymore. One of the things that I'm feeling right now that I need to unsubscribe to is that I need to unsubscribe to my cowardice. If I'm really honest with you, I feel like in a few areas of my life, I'm kind of a coward. I want to fancy myself to be someone who's courageous and bold and all of those things. But if I'm really honest, in some areas I'm not. So if you're here this morning and there's any area of your life, it could be professionally, changing a job, a conversation you need to have. It could be something personal. It could be starting a relationship, ending a relationship. If there's any area in your life that you feel like you need more courage, well, I'm hopeful that what God is teaching me will be something that God can use to encourage you also. And before we talk about those things, let me take a moment and pray for us. God, we thank you for this time that we have together this morning. In a few moments, we'll have the opportunity to receive a meal together, a meal that Christians have been receiving for 2,000 years, a meal that millions of people have and continue to find strength in. So as we prepare to receive that this morning, Lord, won't you use this time as we look at some scripture to encourage us, to give us strength? Lord, I pray that you will continue to work in all of our lives to help us to be men, women, teenagers, kids that are courageous. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, Lord, may they be pleasing to you. You're our rock and our redeemer. We pray these things in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Last Thursday, I rode a banana boat. Does anybody know what a banana boat is? A banana boat is this long yellow tube that looks like a banana that they pull behind a ski boat, and the purpose is to try to knock you off. So I've been gone for 2 weeks. The first week, we were on the panhandle of Florida between 30A and Panama City Beach. If you want to know more about what I think about that, our last sermon series is called Riptide. You can hear about that there. And then last week, we were at a family camp in East Texas called Pine Cove. Our whole family, my wife Amy and I, our 7-year-old Boyd, our 3-year-old Charlie, and our 2-year-old Mary Frances. It was an awesome experience. On Thursday, Boyd and I, we rode the banana boat. Okay. Amy could have ridden the banana boat. The little kids couldn't, but Amy decided to sit in the boat and supervise the boat driver. His name was Tacklebox. Okay, so I spent most of the banana boat ride yelling, "Let her rip, Tacklebox," which I found entertaining, but nobody else did. Okay. So she's supervising tackle box. Boyd and I are in the back of the banana boat. And then in the front of the banana boat, you've got another couple and their teenage daughter. So five of us on the banana boat. We're going along. It's pretty fun, but, you know, nothing great. And then we flip over, and then it gets awesome. Okay, I love that. So we flip over. All five of us are in the water. And the other couple says to me, next time we flip over, that's it. We're getting back in the boat. And I was like, that's fine. Okay. So we flip over again. And they do that. They swim over and they get in the boat. So then it's just me, Boyd, and this teenage girl, and we're swimming back towards the banana boat. And I'm not kidding, friends. This is what goes through my head. This just tells you a little bit about my mental state at camp. We're swimming back to the boat, and I think, finally, it's just the kids. It took me about 90 seconds. We're back on the banana boat moving when I finally, I am an adult. That's my mindset at camp. I tell you that to tell you this. Riding a banana boat is kind of like a life with God. No, I'm just kidding. That would be super cheesy. That's not why I told you that. I told you that because I want you to know where my mental state was at camp. One of the songs that we sang at camp was a song that was designed for the kids, but that has actually made a pretty profound impact on me. Okay, choir, I'm gonna need your help, okay? You do this to make them stand up?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I'm gonna teach you to the choir. Y'all just do whatever you do, okay? I'm gonna teach you to the choir. We're gonna sing it one time. I'm gonna sing it one time. They're gonna sing it one time. And then you're gonna sing it, okay? All right, here's the chorus. It goes, I just wanna be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. You gotta do the ba, 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 okay. I just wanna be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. Da da da, the Lord to keep. I just want to be a sheep. Ba 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 ba. I can't remember that middle part. Okay, all right. Let's praise the Lord, my soul to keep. Okay, are y'all ready? I just want to be a sheep. Ba 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep. Ba 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 ba. Praise the Lord, my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep. Ba 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 ba. Can y'all do that? Okay, you don't have to stand up. You don't have to stand up, but I can see you, okay? And I would like to see your hands move, okay? Okay. Now, for your sake, I'm not gonna sing. I'm just gonna let the choir sing, okay? How do you get them started?
As loud as I can.
Impact! Go, go.
I just wanna be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just wanna be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. Praise the Lord.
Be seated. Okay. So we clap. We sang that for two reasons. One, it's going to set me up for the bottom line that I want you to hear this morning. Two, it's been stuck in my head, and I wanted to be stuck in your head also. So you're welcome. It's been stuck in my head for a week. In fact, I was walking around last night. It was our first night back from camp. I was singing it, and Amy said, you have to stop singing that. But here's the interesting thing. As I'm singing that, I'm not kidding. About half the time, maybe more than half the time, here's what I catch myself singing. I catch myself singing, I don't want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I don't want to. And at first, I just thought it was kind of funny. And the verses say, I don't want to be like a Sadducee and I don't want to be a Pharisee. So I thought maybe that was coming from. But then the more I did it, the more I thought, is there something going on here? Is there something Freudian here? I keep singing, even though I don't want to. I don't want to be a sheep. Because, look, we teach our kids that song. And I want Charlie and Boyd and Mary Frances singing that song. But if I was really writing the song, you know what I'd write? I just want to be in charge, 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 charge. I just want to take the lead, 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 lead. A sheep is known for following. If I'm going to be honest with you, most of the time, I have about this much interest in not being the one in the front. And it wasn't until last night, and then again this morning, that I began to realize that there is an intimate connection between me not wanting to be a sheep and me being a coward. That those two things are intimately connected. You know, the sheep language, it comes from one of the most popular, famous passages of the Bible. I mean, if you're in here this morning, you've never been in church, you've never opened up the Bible, you have probably heard at least part of this passage. The most popular prayer in the Christian tradition is the Lord's Prayer. This is the second most popular prayer. It goes something like this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through what? The valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You've probably heard that before. Even if you've never been in church, you've probably heard that before. You'll hear it again. And when you hear it again, there's one thing I'd like for you to notice about it. If you'd like to, in your pew Bibles, the Bible in front of you, Psalm 23 is on page 501. You can look at that if you're visual, if it helps you to see it. Take a look at that. And here is what I'd like for you to notice. Look at those first three verses. That's the first little part. David, who wrote this, he makes a really bold claim. Do you see the bold claim that he makes there? If you see it visually, it's on the second line. If you're not seeing it visually, you can just think about it. A really bold claim. He says, I, what? Shall not want. That is a bold claim. To say, I don't want. How could David make that claim? Because most of us couldn't. How could he make that claim? Is it because he is somehow morally superior? Is it because he has a degree of self-discipline that makes him not want? Is it because he has so much that he has no need to want? What is it that makes him not want? Well, he tells us, I don't want. Why? Because my shepherd makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. It's not that I don't want because of something that I've done. It's not that I don't want because of my moral superiority. In fact, the first line is the key to the whole thing. I don't want. Why? Because what? Because the Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I don't want. Because of who he is, that defines who I am. But look at the next big claim. Just a couple lines down. What does he say? He makes another I statement. I will what? Fear no evil. Again, is he just way more courageous than you? Because you've got some kind of fear in your life. He fears no evil. Is he way more courageous than you? Or does he think that there is nothing to be afraid of? Well, it's obvious that he knows there are things to be afraid of. In fact, even when he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, I mean, he knows that there is a valley of the shadow of death. He knows that there is evil. He knows that there are forces out there that seek to hurt him. He doesn't fear no evil because there is no evil. In the midst of evil, he still fears no evil. Why? Because God's with him. And God's rod and his staff, they comfort him. Because God is with me, I fear no evil. Because of who God is, that defines who I am. And then he makes one last really bold claim. It's the last line of the whole thing. Another I statement. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because I earned my way into the house of the Lord? Because I've been good enough to get there? Because I found my way? No. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows because of him. In fact, you want to know why I dwell in the house of the Lord? Because his goodness and his mercy, they follow after me. I dwell in the house of the Lord because he pursued me and brought me into his house. I will dwell in his house forever in this life and the next life because I've earned it. No. Because he has earned it and brought me into it. Because of who he is. That defines who I am. There are a lot of things that you can take out of Psalm 23, but this is one of the most profound things that I see in this. David says over and over and over again, I am able to not want, to not fear, to have the assurance that I will dwell with God forever, not because of what I have done, but because of what he has done and because of what he is doing. Are you beginning to see what God is doing, at least in my life? The connection between me being afraid and me not wanting to be a sheep. You see, what the whole world tells me is that if I want to be an adult, and in particular, if I want to be a man, then I need to be out there doing it on my own. I don't need to follow anybody else's directions. I don't need somebody else's playbook. I need to be the one running point. I need to fix those problems. I need to make it right. I need to be the one out front. Is it any wonder that when I believe that lie and when I'm out front that I end up falling apart under the pressure? Is it any surprise that when I'm out there on my own just trying to do life, to bulldog it all by myself, that I end up falling apart under the fear and the pressure? Is it any surprise that I become a coward when I try to do it on my own? What David recognized is what in my healthiest places I recognize and in your healthy places you recognize, that really the best way to live life is from the second chair, to be behind the shepherd who's blazing the trail, to sure be leading others, but only leading others because I'm following after the good shepherd, because I'm following after Christ. We talk a lot in here about the first 15, the importance of spending your first 15 minutes in prayer and in scripture, and it's easy to think that that's just some kind of moralistic, it's the right thing to do. No, it's not that at all. It's starting the first 15 minutes saying, I'm going to learn about you, and I'm going to follow after you, and I'm going to be rooted in you, because if I'm following after you, then I can have the courage to go places that I could never have gone to on my own. The reason I'm discovering in my life and what God is teaching me through family camp and a few other things is that in those areas of my life where I am the most afraid, where I am a coward, it's those areas that I'm trying to lead on my own. When I find strength, it's when I know that I am who I am because of who he is, because he's the good shepherd. That I can just be the sheep that trust him to blaze the trail. Let me give you one more kind of mental picture that I hope will help cement this. When the storm, that bad storm blew through several weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon, Father's Day, a tree limb fell on top of our trampoline in our backyard. And it didn't damage the jumping surface, but it broke the net around the trampoline. So that leaves Amy and I with three possibilities. We can just get rid of the trampoline, which is not an option because our boys need to jump on the trampoline at least 3 hours a day. Okay, we need the trampoline. Okay. Option two is to get rid of the net. It's broken, just take it out. I survived without a net, they can survive without a net. Okay, that's option two. We're not going to do that. Option three is to fix the net. That's what we're doing. We're ordering parts to fix the net. Here is what every guy in my generation says. Okay, this is what we talk about when we're in the backyard and there's a trampoline. Heads up. This is what we talk about. When I was a kid, we didn't have a net and we were fine. We survived. We were way rougher on the trampoline than our kids are. Okay. At the sake of disenfranchising my peers, I actually don't think that's true. I think my boys are way more rough on the trampoline than I was with my friends and with my brother. You know why? Because when I was jumping on the trampoline without a net, I had a healthy fear of the ground. And I had a healthy fear of one leg going on one side of a spring and the other leg on another side of the spring, okay? I had a healthy fear of falling off of that thing. My boys have no fear of the ground at all. When I'm jumping with them, they hit that net hard at least a dozen times every time that we're out there. They are way more wild than I ever was. Why? Because of the net. They know that they can go crazy. They know that they can go wild, and at worst, they'll hit the net and they'll bounce back. You see, a life with God kind of is like a banana boat. It kind of is like jumping on a trampoline. When you follow after God, and you follow after His principles, and you put Him first, it puts a net around you so that you know He is going to meet my needs so I don't have to want. And even when things get bad, I don't have to fear because He will be with me. And no matter how bad things get, no matter how hard I hit the net, I will dwell in His house forever. We think it's more fun and we think it's better to jump without the net and to be out there on our own. But we find out when we start following after Him that life is better with a shepherd. When Boyd and I were riding on the banana boat, eventually, it was just he and I, the teenage girl she gave up to. We fell off that thing a lot because tackle box let her rip when it was just the two of us. But Boyd wasn't very afraid because you know what happened? Every time we'd hit the water, as soon as my head came back up out of the water, what do you think I did? I found Boyd. And every time his head came back up out of the water, what do you think he did? He found me. And we'd smile at each other, and we'd get back on the banana boat. A life with God is a life where sometimes we fall off. And sometimes it's our fault, and sometimes it's somebody else's fault. But if we're out there on our own without the shepherd, then we're just kind of bobbing out in the water by ourselves. But if we believe that Jesus is who He says He is, the good shepherd who came to give us life and to give it to us abundantly, if we believe that what He said was true, that He will never leave us or forsake us, if we believe that He is the way, that He is the truth, that He is the life, and if we follow after the good shepherd like a good sheep, then no matter how hard or how deep we fall, He's always there looking at us, waiting for us to look at Him, to get back on the banana boat, to get back on track. And when I am living as a good sheep, I find that I'm also living a more courageous, less fearful life. If you want to unsubscribe to fear, if you want to unsubscribe from being a coward, it's not about fighting the fear. It's about looking in the face of Jesus and allowing Him to be the one that leads you forward. That's what God is teaching me right now. And my hunch is that there are other people that need to be taught that this week also. So, as we prepare to receive communion together, will you just reflect on that? Where in my life can I just admit that I'm kind of a coward? And in that particular area, what would it look like for me to trust Jesus to lead? In fact, here's a prayer that you can pray. You can pray, God, I can't win this battle on my own. I can't fix this. Will you fight this battle for me? Will you take the lead? And if you do, I promise that I'll follow. It's been a good prayer for me. As we receive communion together this morning, I think that could be a good prayer for you. Let me pray for us. God, thank you for this time that we've had together to look at a passage that you have been using for a really long time to speak truth into people's lives. Lord, we don't want to be a people that are afraid. We want to be a courageous people. We want to be people that are bold. People that are willing to take risks. People that are willing to step out there. But Lord, help us just to know and to believe that we can only be bold if we're following you. So Lord, whatever battle is on our heart that we're scared of, Lord, won't you fight that battle for us? Won't you take the lead in the relationship or in the job, in the insecurity, in the fear? Lord, we just want to tell you that we want you to take the lead. And we want to follow. God, we want to be sheep because we trust that you are a good shepherd. We pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.